Welcome back. Overtime continues. An Arizona canine has been named the world's ugliest dog in the annual contest for the world's ugliest dog. Organizers of the world's ugliest dog contest in Arizona announced the 17-year-old Mr. Happy Face, adopted in August of 2021 by Arizona woman Janeta Benelli, was named the 2022 World's Ugliest Dog. The contest, an annual event at the Sonoma Marin Fairgrounds Event Center, returned this year after the 2020 and 2021 contests were canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The contest is aimed at promoting adoption of dogs that some might consider to be less aesthetically pleasing.
This dog is ugly, dude.
Benelli received an award of $1,000 and a trip to New York to appear on NBC's Today Show. This is the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my goodness.
Brent, look at that.
Yeah.
Is that the thing from Stranger Things?
That is the... That's Mr. Happy Face.
Yeah.
Not very happy.
Dude. It looks like a bat. It just looks like a bat dog.
Yeah, that thing is hideous.
Oh my gosh.
How does that thing eat?
You poor animal. What happened to you?
Well,
at least he's loved, though. I mean, honestly, that's so sweet. Oh, he's so ugly. I could just never touch him.
You could never touch him because he's so ugly.
Hairless dogs, bro, freak me out. And cats, hairless, I hate hairless animals. That's gross, touching up on those skin. It's like rubbing up on an old lady. Like a wrinkly, loose skin. Ugh.
You just compared.
Loose skin.
You compared a hairless dog and a hairless cat to rubbing against an old lady.
It's like loose skin. It's like the feeling of loose skin. Just like old. I mean, it'll be like rubbing him again. It's disgusting, man. Not really. I guess disgusting is a mean word. It's not my thing. There you go.
Oh, my Lord. Benelli said, I believe that this humble soul is also being an example in subtle ways to help humans realize that even old dogs need love and a family, too. Benelli said she immediately fell in love with Mr. Happy Face despite being told he might not have long to live due to his advanced age and multiple health issues. Quote, he was the happiest creature I'd ever met. He hobbled up to me and chose me. I vowed that day he would be so loved that he would never remember how awful his previous life had been.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Oh, my God. That last sentence got me. That is so sweet.
You know what doesn't change, though?
He must have had a terrible priest life.
It's the world's ugliest dog.
Everybody needs love, Jake. Everybody needs love.
Everybody needs love. But good Lord, Mr. Happy Face needs a lot of love. That's the only thing he's going to get in his life.
Dude, that's an ugly dog, bro. That's crazy.
I just imagine walking down the street and seeing that.
That's like when you cross the street just to avoid conversation. You're like, I'm gonna go over here now. Just not going to pass this. Ugh.
Oh, Lordy. Meanwhile, New York PD beekeepers called to remove 2,000 bees from a Manhattan restaurant. The bees will now be relocated to an area where their pollinating skills will be put to good use. Photos show the bees clustered in the corner of the roof of a restaurant in Times Square,
ugh,
in the outdoor eating area.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Last month, the NYPD beekeepers removed 8,000 honeybees from 3 World Trade Center in downtown Manhattan.
Dude, that's crazy. Me and my girlfriend got attacked by a bee in the Whataburger drive-thru on the way back from Florida.
At least you went to Whataburger.
It flew in the window and was like, pew, 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 pew. And this lady tossed us a Sani-like bottle. I was like, kill it! Kill it! She was screaming at us, and I was like, okay, and I started spraying Sani water everywhere. The bee flies out, does a U-turn around the back, and flies back in. So we get the bottle back, we murder the thing, take it out, bee's gone, and then we got somebody else's order. It was a horrible order, too. A bunch of plain cheeseburgers. It's an eventful, Whataburger trip.
So while you were gone last week,
yeah,
this would have been around the time that you normally show up. I'm sitting there at the producer's desk, and I'm trying to, do my log for the commercials for the show. And then all of a sudden, I look up, not just to be, this was a yellow jacket.
Oh, that's so terrifying.
And I'm like, I can't find anything to hit it with. So I grabbed an old Lindy's magazine out of my backpack, miss, and then I just start throwing the thing at the bee. It's getting more mad by the second. I finally kill it. See? It's still hanging.
You're terrified of pissing the thing off.
Yeah.
Like, then you're like, it's coming for me now. It wasn't messing with me, but now it's going to come for my life.
Well, and that's the thing that, you know, it's common about all those, you know, bees, hornets, wasps, whatever. They go in the direction of whatever came towards them.
Yeah.
So, like, if you throw it from the right, but you move to the left, they're still going to go to the right. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with your knowledge.
It's like if you throw something at them, you take two steps to the left, you're good. If you stay where you're at, nah, it's game over.
I don't trust it. I'm terrified of bugs. I'm not really, like, terrified, but...
Do you know where you're at?
I know. Well, honestly, this is probably one of the best places to be. I do not want to be in Florida with all those mosquitoes and stuff.
Oh, God. Oh.
I hate... That's what I mean. I'm not, like, terrified of bugs. Like, bees and wasps, I do run away from because I'm not trying to risk that sting. It's just uncomfortable. But, like, bugs and, like, insects are just gross. Everybody wants to be covered in them. Crawling things. Ugh.
And in Michigan, a man's bad day leads to a $1 million lottery jackpot. 40-year-old Clinton County man told Michigan lottery officials that he might not have bought his 20 times cash word scratch-off ticket from the J&H Family Stores in whatever the heck the name of that is. I cannot pronounce that. If his day hadn't gone off to an unpleasant start. Said I was having a bad day, so I left work early and stopped to purchase the lottery ticket on my way home. When I scratched the ticket and saw I'd won $1 million, all I could think was, there's no way this is real.
That same thought I was about to have, dude. It's a prank. Like those fake $100 bills you find on the ground.
Yeah.
You just open it up, you're like, oh, God. God. That's a great surprise.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be me?
The man said he was in such disbelief that he returned to the store that he used the ticket scanner. Said, quote, I took the ticket back to the store to scan it and got a message to file a claim. I was still having a hard time believing it was real, so I scanned it on the lottery app to confirm. It was an unbelievable feeling when the amount of $1 million came up on the screen. Man said his winnings will go towards buying a new truck and bolstering his savings. You buy a truck now, I mean, by the time you pay the taxes on that, you're probably getting, what, about $650,000, $600,000.
Is that what it really comes out to?
Yeah, dude, you lose a lot in lottery taxes.
Ugh, so lame, bro. That's so lame.
But, I mean, you look at buying a truck, and if you get a GMC Denali Ultimate, the Sierra, the Denali Ultimate, that's going to run you upwards of 90 to 100 grand.
That's crazy. I don't know. I do the same thing.
What kind of truck are you buying?
God. You know, I'd have to do some, like, research, look at the metrics. You know, really just see which one gives out the most torque. I don't know. Probably like just a... I'd probably just get the Ford Raptor just because it looks sleek. It's one of my favorite looking truck. I don't know. I don't do a lot of truck things. I don't need a lot of truck stuff. I don't know. They're convenient to have.
So I've actually looked into a couple options there. It's like I would have an electric truck and then I'd have a diesel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably get me like a...
So the Rivian... The truck they've got, they make the SUV. It's basically the same thing as a truck. Kind of like the Nissan Xterra and the Nissan Frontier. It's basically the same vehicle. One just had a bed on it, and the other one had, you know, the covered cab. They're nice. But the problem is, once you order one, from the day you order it, you have to drive all the way down to Atlanta to pick it up 3 years from the time you purchase it.
Yeah, no. See, I'd purchase the lake house, but like not like buy it outright. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
Get a loan, but have the money to pay it off, you know, pay the monthly dues and such.
Right.
And buy a boat. And just have a car. I'd love to live on the lake. So, that's probably my first move. I want a good little milli. Yeah. Definitely just put money down on a house or something.
And then you got to take into account, like, say you win the Powerball. You either get a lump sum option... Or you get an annuity option. The annuity option is stupid because you can get the lump sum, put it in your own annuity, and make more money that way, right?
Well, doesn't the annuity take out less taxes, though? Like you get it in like monthly like stipends.
You get it per year. You get 30 yearly stipends.
Okay, yeah.
Problem with that is you can make more money putting it in, like if you take the lump sum, you can make more money with your investments, yeah. And you'd have a lot more money to put down towards those
investments. I'd 100% hire a financial advisor.
I would not.
Well, I don't know.
Ain't nobody gonna pay to tell me how to use my money. Put it all into Dogecoin. I'd be broke.
Please, God.
I would be so broke. But yeah, so like if you win the Powerball, when's the next drawing? What do they do them on Wednesday and Saturday? I don't know when they do the drawings. Yeah. Anybody know?
No, I've only did that one time. It was at like a record high.
That's about the only time I do it now.
And I wasn't even close. It was so embarrassing.
So like if you were to win the Powerball today or Wednesday, whenever they do it.
Mm-hmm.
You take the lump sum option after taxes, because the jackpot right now is $350 million. You would take home $198,968,000.
That's insane, and I'd take it. Take it all.
Oh, first, you know what I'm doing first?
What?
I'm going to see Francis Malignoa.
Do I got a package for you?
It's like, man, listen, Fan Run Radio, we're going to set you up.
Oh, my God.
I got the perfect idea for him,
that
too.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, just advertise for the show.
Oh yeah, I'd 100% like make. I think that's probably one of the first things I do is like find a way to make money off of some odd hundred thousands, you know.
Oh yeah,
just make me more money and then immediately buy stuff I want.
So one of the things that we touched on last week, Stack, you weren't here for it, but I really want to get your input on this because you know I'm eloping soon. Because I don't want to see a lot of people that I know at my wedding. There's people that I would have to invite that I don't want to see.
Oh. Like family? Or like just people in general? Like
we are on air, be careful.
I don't care if we're on air or not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I'm pretty open and honest.
Let me know.
Yes, you are.
Holler at me.
But no, you're invited. But
Oh no, we were 100% talking about you. But, so, like, just people in general?
Yeah. And we were talking about bad wedding registry items that you've seen.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about this.
Oh, my
this was a good one.
My little brother has a paper towel holder on his.
Oh, don't you even start.
Yeah.
Don't you even start. Are you joking? Are you joking?
No, it's like a little metal. It's not even like a super nice one, but we were looking. My girlfriend
showed it to me. A registry gift?
Like, yeah, like the gifts you can put on like a list and then like, hey, buy us this. It's like you scroll all the way down. And
that was literally the first thing that I brought up was some idiot had $150,000 or $150, not $150,000, $150 paper towel roller.
Like 50 bucks on there.
It's dude. Like, what are you doing?
How do you not have one now?
Goes in your kitchen or whatever?
It's the first thing I bought when I moved into an apartment.
If anybody ever bought me anything like that, it'd be going up on eBay. Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist.
Okay,
I put it
okay.
up on Twitter before I put it in my house.
Jake, you know what a wedding registry is, right?
Yeah, we pick the gifts.
You pick the gifts. So it's up to the person. But if you click on it, it means you want it.
By golly, there's a nice Toyota Tundra sitting right down the road if somebody wants to go pick it up.
We've talked about this. Why didn't the guys get to choose?
I know.
I don't know. Yeah, they had a bunch of stuff on there, man, when I was going through my little brother's because he's getting married in August or October or September, one of those months.
I mean, it's not the worst thing to go in there and beep, boop.
I'm just gonna throw him some cash, man. I've always
have
been
you
a
done
cash,
it yet,
man.
Jake?
I like your idea.
Just give me some cash, dog. I don't need no gifts. I know what I want.
But have you done that?
What the wedding registry?
Yeah, have you done it yet?
No.
Are you going to?
No.
You should just put like model trains. That's all you want. Model trains.
Give me the Lionel Coin Bank.
Yeah.
You remember that infomercial? Lionel Coin Bank.
Oh my gosh, dude.
But now there's no beep beep anymore, Brad. It's just poking at the screen.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think everyone should just put one joke item and see who buys it. Just like something super obscure and random. Just like almost like a train locomotive.
Oh, let's just do one ridiculously expensive purchase.
I mean, my little brother has the thing like the honeymoon fund. It's just put money in there for him. I wouldn't use it for the honeymoon. Just put that in my pocket.
Yeah, you know what's going to be on mine.
Yeah.
My Venmo.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
See, I've been thinking about not even wanting to do a wedding. just like elope and then use all the money I'd spend on a wedding for a vacation.
Well, I mean, think about it. You spend all that time.
I'm catering. You've experienced this.
I have, yes.
You're going to experience it. You're going to experience it. I'm about to experience it. If you do a wedding, think about that. That is thousands of dollars that you're spending on suits, venues, the bridesmaids' dresses.
Oh, there's sixes and
the bride's dress, food, all that.
That's insane.
Thousands of dollars for a ceremony that takes maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's like a 3-hour, 4-hour event. It takes me to cater a wedding. It's like,
yeah, but we're talking about the registry gifts. You don't buy those.
Well, yeah, no, we know that.
You can click on anything and everything, but it's up to the other person.
I know what would happen if I did a registry, though. I'd have more stuff than I need, and I've already got more stuff than I need. I need to get rid of some stuff.
Do you really need a toaster? Do you really want a toaster? Hey, no, you don't.
Hey, I did see a toaster that's got like a digital screen on it.
Nice. Careful, Jake. Jake likes his cooking.
I don't know. I do like those fancy toasters, like the bagel toasters. I want one of those conveyor belt toasters. Where you just like
you see it
like at Quiznos and like, such.
Or when you go to like Krispy Kreme, they're like going down and then they flip under
and they toast and you're like, wow. It's like a perfect speed and toast.
Yeah.
I just don't know what I would put on this thing, man.
Just so much. I don't know. I could put a lot of stuff up. Like, I'd just ask for, like, gaming setup stuff.
And then that's what we were talking about. Like, why can't we go to, like, Dick's Sporting Goods?
I wouldn't want
gift
cards.
Click on some, like...
Do never give me a gift card. Just stop with like, gift cards.
Like, me and Jake were talking about, like, golf clubs.
Golf clubs? I see. I need to start getting into golf, I guess, because everyone does it, and so...
Like, me and Jake were talking while you were gone on, like, Friday. I don't remember what day it was, but, like, we were just talking, like, dude... I could use a new driver. You know, why can't I click on this?
I could use a new set of irons.
You can put that in your registry.
You know,
my little brother has a golf club set on his.
You know?
Yeah, just anything.
But then, as you said, like, just a simple gift card.
I don't want gift cards. I hate gift cards.
One of my fraternity brothers has sent me a list.
Oh.
And it is of someone's registry, of which...
What is it? Like, out of okay, this
so,
world.
So we got a paper towel holder. But it's not $150.
Okay.
It's only $20.
That's not bad.
That's so insane.
A $55 loaf pan.
Mm. Like a bread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any type of bread.
Mm, that's not bad.
I'm a good loaf.
$55,
bread.
Though.
And then we've got a thing for your cabinets. It's like this little cupboard.
Oh, what?
It's like a little cupboard. Like a little slot for stuff.
Yeah.
And it holds your aluminum foil, your saran wrap, and all that stuff.
Oh, I want one of those things so bad. He has a little slider with the knife thing on it. Cuts it perfect slices. Dude, I've seen that on the internet, and it looks so conveniently nice. You know how hard it is to cut saran wrap?
It is actually pretty difficult.
I mean, unless you have like a giant pan that you're holding on the other end, like at the restaurant, dude, it's so easy. But at home, ugh, you're using like bowls and stuff, and it never works. Saran wrap is a pain.
Why do you take it out of the box?
I don't. But it's just a pain to like grip.
Don't they
on?
Make it to where you don't have to take it
out
of the box?
I don't want to hear it. Dude. Yeah, but you don't have a knife.
It's just like aluminum foil.
When did I say I took it out of the box? I'm just saying it's hard to cut. It's
what else is on there,
the
Jake?
This also has a bamboo hamper.
That's just extra. That's just somebody trying to be cool.
Yeah.
That bamboo phase is long gone. Get out of here. We all know bamboo is this cool little cool wood.
I have a hamper in my house. Do you know how often I use it?
Every other day.
None.
I use mine.
None.
I started using it. I got in trouble.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to get off this topic before I lose my mind. All right, 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Overtime, back with more right after this.
Hey.
Welcome back. Overtime continues. As we mentioned in the first hour, things are not good in Gainesville right now. Things are not good at all.
It's a meltdown. You're not wrong.
You look at the message boards. Florida fans, I mean, they've already had it with Billy Napier. The guy's only been on the job for, 8 months now, 7 months? and they are already up in their feels. Matter of fact, they are so up in their feels that there was an open letter, a message from head coach Billy Napier that was posted to FloridaGators.com on Friday. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Gator Nation, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for the tremendous amount of support you have shown our entire organization, team, and our family since our arrival in Gainesville. We recently had the opportunity to visit various cities across Gator Nation during my first spring speaking tour, and all we can say is that each day we are more and more excited to be a part of the University of Florida. Our fans' passion is evident and unmatched. We will play in one of the most iconic places in college football, the Swamp. This year's Orange and Blue game gave us a small taste of what playing in front of Gator Nation
is begging. Like. Just begging his fans to calm down.
And we can't wait to get started this fall by hosting Pac-12 champion Utah on September 3rd under the lights. They are going to get blown out.
Oh, my God, dude. Imagine. I mean, that's they're so angry. Their entire like Twitter thread is literally called the official meltdown thread.
It's getting worse. And that's not even all of it.
They lose to Utah, dude.
Says we are working on creating a new future through a journey that emphasizes discipline, toughness, detail, accountability, integrity, and most importantly, teamwork. Our mission is to make life-changing impact on our players and for them to experience success in life as a result of their time within our program.
Oh boy.
We want to promote their education and encourage them to not only get a degree, but to be engaged, network, and develop relationships. As we enter a new era of college football with name, image, and likeness, we are fortunate to be at a place that is not only rich in history and tradition on the football field, but is also a top five public institution with more than 470,000 living alumni and incredible resources. We believe that NIL will be a strength at the University of Florida. Didn't he just say like 2 weeks ago that he was not going to get in any battles?
I'm telling you, dude, the dude didn't write this. They did not write this. There's no way he wrote any of this.
You take one look at the guy and you can tell he didn't write it.
I don't even care about that, man. It's just like, this is just basically like, guys, please, I swear to God, I got this handled. Okay, we're good. We're good. We're not sinking. I swear.
Says we also believe in the professional development of our athletes. For that reason, we established the Gator Made program, a holistic player-focused and purpose-driven initiative that seeks to develop Gators beyond the football field by providing them with the necessary skills to succeed in life. Gator Made provides opportunities in financial literacy, micro-internships, networking, mentorship, agent education, NIL, business weekend trips, and even service abroad. We want to have a place where we work towards having a life-changing impact as a person, as a student, as a player, and Gator Made provides the building blocks. We're also getting ready to move into the new James W. Bill Hevener Football Training Center. Good night. That is a long name for a building. This summer. The state-of-the-art 140,000 square foot standalone facility will be a game changer as it relates to our day-to-day football operations, sports medicine, rehabilitation, recruiting, dining, and recreation, to name a few.
I don't know. When you start hearing a coach talk about how he's getting his players' life ready, you just pack the season in. Just pack it in. They're winning four games. I'm sorry. I mean, look, you hope that like that's what they do as a coach, but if that's what you're focusing on. Yeah, we just lost two big recruits, but we're trying to build grown men here. You know, we're trying to, you know, build men in the world. We don't want football players. We want men that want to become, I don't know, just regular people. No.
That's not exciting.
Butch Jones, Champions of Life.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
This might be worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The
I don't know. The
brick by brick thing? Like, that's so lame.
It all starts with a good foundation.
Yeah, that's so lame. No, we're not. No. This is college football. This isn't a dynasty.
On the football field, our goal is to play a brand of football that creates a great sense of pride among not only our players and staff, but through all of Gator Nation.
That's disgusting.
One thing we've learned in the past 6 months is that Gators are resilient and passionate.
He's just been hanging out
in all kinds of weather. And all kinds of weather.
He's just been hanging out at the local zoo, like getting to know what gators do. It's like, yeah, dude, reptiles are insane. They're just great animals. What?
He proceeds to say, I can assure you that no one has higher expectations for what we want to accomplish than me. This will be a team effort. All of us, no matter what our role is, can provide a positive impact on the success of our program. From our students cheering the loudest on Saturdays at the Swamp. To our boosters, alumni, and everyday fans, we all must have a championship approach in all that we do.
That's so gross.
You are a part of this team, and we can't wait to see you at the Swamp this fall as we embark on the journey to our new future. Go Gators.
It's just
Billy Napier.
It's just gross. It's sad.
Butch Jones.
It's just, yeah. I mean, yeah, you hit that on the nail, man. Yeah. The champions of life thing. I don't care.
This guy just sounds lost. Like, he doesn't know what he just got himself into. Now he's figuring it out real quick. It's going to get even uglier when football season starts.
Yeah.
He
imagine that. That's what I'm saying, dude.
Well,
as mad as they are now.
Like, if he would have took a job last year when NIL first became a thing, he might be able to get on this train and run with it. But when you're at a school like Louisiana Lafayette or Louisiana Monroe, wherever he was at, NIL is not a big thing. Not like it is at the SEC. And it's like he got on a train that he thought was going 100 miles an hour, and then he finds out it's going 500 miles an hour, and he's looking around like, oh, my God, what am I doing, and what have I got myself into because I'm just an old-school football coach.
It looks bad.
So let's run down their schedule once again. Utah.
L.
Loss. Kentucky. Loss.
L.
USF will be a win.
Oh, God, I hope so.
They were 2-10 last year. They were pretty bad. At Tennessee, that's a loss.
Oh, not UCF.
No, UCF, that'd be 50-50. So they're going to lose at Tennessee. They'll beat Eastern Washington, I hope. Missouri.
Just give it to them.
Are we going around the room? Because Utah, you said Utah's going to beat Florida?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to whip you up,
I mean,
Jake.
The spread's not very much, so. It's a pick 'em, basically.
I don't know, man. This team sounds like they're...
Urban Meyer classic. Papa John's pizzas for everybody.
I mean, Anthony Richardson's pretty good.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's most of the
recruiting
stuff is for next year.
Are we just picking the schedule based on what they're losing right now?
I mean, the current situation, I mean, you got a team that already didn't have a lot of depth.
Utah is traveling across the country.
True.
So?
But, why are we just automatically saying, oh, yeah, Florida's lost?
Well, they're the Pac-12
champions. Are we just basing that on basically the last 3-4 days?
No. Utah's definitely better
Anthony
than Florida.
Anthony Richardson's better than Emory Jones, is he not?
There's a reason Emory Jones was starting last year.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Milton was starting too.
True.
I don't know. I definitely don't.
Sorry, I'm playing devil's advocate.
See,
sorry, that's what I like
I
to do.
Know.
I did it with Phil
Utah
on the phone.
Utah does not look terrible.
I will argue with anybody in this room.
For a Pac-12 team.
I shouldn't argue Florida ever, but I just, you guys chalked it up like, boom, done.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
I gotta kind of agree. I might have to go Florida against Utah.
Thank you.
Really?
Think so?
Honestly, thank you.
Like, we were talking about before the show. I just feel like Florida always just pulls something out of their butt, just gets a win that they shouldn't get.
It's at Florida.
Games. They win the games that they're supposed to.
First
I know it's
game.
At Florida, but you've already
How
got
many times have we been favored in the last 18 years?
Against Florida? 2016.
I mean,
but that's a different story, man. That's Tennessee, Florida, man. That's just something about seeing a helmet.
What do we
man.
Know about Utah?
That's but they don't
what
have
do
a rivalry, though.
What do we know about Utah?
But you also, yeah, they got they're coming in with something
they
to prove.
They backdoored into that.
They beat Oregon, a
that.
Really talented Oregon
twice.
Team.
Oh, please. We're talking about the Pac-12.
Still, but listen, they're
Florida,
coming in.
What has Florida done?
But
like,
you act like
what?
Utah's not going like,
to
come in with the
if
point
we played
to prove.
Florida at the end of last year, how much should we beat them by?
You cannot compare us.
Yes, I can.
Our rivalry is a whole different thing. That's like when Auburn sees Alabama and they suck all season, they still play Alabama to the end of the end of the game. It's a whole different rivalry situation. Utah's just coming in here to prove a point.
Exactly.
Exactly. What? So Utah's got a good chance against a team that's clearly falling apart. Clearly, the kids don't
that's
see what Billy Napier's
season.
Doing.
He just wrote an open letter.
Yes,
fired
and
up.
It was a horrible open letter.
They ain't fired
it
up.
It sounded like a.
They're scared,
dude. He's circling the wagons.
All right. Well, I've got Utah winning that game.
And as bad as it might seem now about how pissed they are at Napier, you know, Friday night, the night before the game, Saturday, they'll be fired up, ready to go.
Yeah,
they'll be ready to play and. I want Utah to win, but I honestly see that game as a toss-up, kind of lean Florida, honestly, myself.
Florida's 3-0 going into our matchup.
No.
Yes, they are.
No.
Yes, they are.
You think they beat Kentucky?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
No.
I don't see it. I'm at least going to give Kentucky that.
Will Levis owns them.
I'm telling you, man. They've played Florida better than really anybody has in a long. Like they be working on Florida.
Davis, what are you feeling about that Kentucky matchup? You're with me. I feel it. I see him smiling over there.
I kind of got to go Florida. Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm not bought into Kentucky at all. Never have. Never will be. And I mean,
Kentucky has a great chance of 10 wins this year.
Going back to the Utah game real quick, it just kind of feels like the first game of Pruitt's regime here against West Virginia. Like, we didn't know what we had with Pruitt yet, just like they don't know what they have with Napier. And we already knew that West Virginia was a solid team the year before. They had Will Grier quarterback. And I don't know, we'll see. We got our butts kicked that game, but
that's me. It's just such a big game, first night, and then right now you already have this added pressure. He sends out this terrible open letter. It just doesn't. It does not feel like Florida's got it.
So you have them 1-3 visiting us.
Yeah.
Even though their first three are at home.
I mean, I'll give you a Utah Florida toss up, but I firmly believe Kentucky's going to come out hot.
Do you know any player in Utah?
Huh? No.
Do you know?
Not at
okay.
all. Not at all.
So what? So makes off you rip. Because
what's their quarterback's name?
I don't know. Joe.
No, because I'm thinking of Desmond King.
No, I think he was it. Was he Miami?
Was
he
Houston? No, who
was
Derek
King?
Derek
King.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
So, Jake, you're saying 1-3, right?
What?
Coming to Knoxville?
1-2.
I'm giving the Pac-12.
Yeah, 1-2.
I'm giving the Pac-12 champion the benefit of the doubt.
So, Kentucky's beating them.
Yeah. Kentucky and Utah are beating them. I've got Florida going 5-7 this year.
Where'd they go last year?
6-7.
6-7? There's just... You think they do better than that this year?
No.
I just don't see it. That's a pretty tough first four games, man.
Well, the thing like that compares Florida and Billy Napier's first year to Josh Heupel in his first year, in my opinion, solely my opinion, I feel like Josh Heupel didn't have a lot of depth, right? We knew there was some there, but we weren't sure what they were going to be. Florida, not only do they have very little depth, but with everybody that they're basically handing out get shirts to, they have no depth at all.
Dude.
It's probably going to be a 6-7 point spread when they come to Knoxville in Tennessee's favor. Don't be surprised if Tennessee wins that game by 3-plus touchdowns.
Versus Florida?
Yes.
And you know what? You know, going back to the Utah thing, you watched them in that bowl game against Ohio State at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They played an amazing game in that game. That if their quarterback does not get hurt with that head injury, Rising, that's his name. Is it Cameron Rising?
Cameron Rising.
Yeah.
Rising. If he doesn't go out of that game, that's a whole different game. And really, I don't know, man. The way they played Ohio State, and I'm telling you, dude, it's coming off a 6-7 season. You've already got a bunch of you just don't have your fans in the corner that you want them in. You know. You've got a lot of them against you right now. They're pretty pissed off. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, you said it a second ago. They always find a way to at least win a couple games and make them relevant, and then last year they just fell apart.
I mean, they lost to Missouri.
Bad.
No, they just lost by 1 in overtime, but the fact of the matter is...
Bad loss, dude.
We beat them 62-24.
Yeah, we absolutely murdered them.
And that was what was so frustrating last year as the season went on. It's like we're seeing teams that, you know, we lost to. I mean, granted, Pitt, you know, they went on to win the ACC championship. Florida, you know, after really it was the Kentucky game, or not the Kentucky game, but the LSU game that broke them.
Mm.
When they went to LSU and they lost 42-49.
Oh, yeah.
And then followed with a loss to Georgia, a loss to South Carolina. Allowing Samford, of all schools, to put up 52 points. That's like Derek Dooley level on his last year.
That's when you knew it was over, that Samford game, for sure.
Yeah, they fired him right after the Missouri game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, Florida, Florida State, the turmoil they've got, Florida with the turmoil they had at the time.
I think it's not a fun game. I think Utah beats them straight up.
And then they lose to UCF in the bowl game, in the Gasparilla Bowl.
I forgot how good they looked against Ohio State in that bowl game. And they really didn't lose that many people. I don't know. I think Utah might be, I don't know, might be pretty darn decent, at least for a Pac-12 team. Enough to beat like a weak SEC East team.
Also, in that game against Ohio State, they had a running back converted to a cornerback that was covering Najigba Smith.
Yeah.
One that had like 350 yards receiving, like four touchdowns, some crazy game. So they were pretty depleted, and they still competed. In my opinion, should have won that game.
Oh, God, yeah. I did not want to see that, dude. I turned the game off. Ugh, it was horrible. I was so scared.
Then Florida, they're losing their two best running backs, Damian Pierce, Malik Davis, wide receiver Jacob Copeland, who had the worst commitment video that I'd ever seen in my life. You remember this one. Let's talk more about those videos and the commitment process when we come back. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us. Overtime, back with more right after this.
Your pet is an important part of your...
Welcome back in to Overtime. I want to talk about these commitments here a little bit. So you've seen the ones with the long, drawn-out videos. We've seen the picking of the hats and throwing the hat down. Arch Manning did his in silence. I'm all about doing it in silence. Because we talked during the break and Stackhouse said, you know, whoever did that first is a genius. But now it's so overdone to the point where it's not even funny anymore. And we just talked about Jacob Copeland. I remember his very vividly because we were in a battle with him along with Alabama and Florida. And you knew he wasn't going to Alabama or Tennessee as soon as he sat down because you had his mom wearing a Tennessee shirt with an Alabama beanie. Like, they were all – none of them matched. It's like some were wearing Tennessee shirts, Alabama hats, Tennessee hat, Alabama shirt. It's like, I don't like those.
It's so extra.
It's extra, and everyone's like, oh, well, let the kid have their moment. Let the kid have their moment. It's like, okay, yeah, it's a great accomplishment. You're about to be a Division I Power 5 college football player.
Cornell Tate was needing somebody to video his, right?
Yeah. He did a 2-minute video?
Yeah. All to show he's going to Ohio State.
When you could have just put out a tweet.
It used to be an All-American game or something like that.
Just the tweet's kind of lame. I'm okay with the kids sitting down.
Send in the facts.
If you're a 5-star, I'm definitely like sitting down with the hats and gonna pick. That's you grow up wanting to do that, man. Grow up wanting to do that. They had it in the video games. It's just something you want to do. Now the whole putting on a hat and then this one, no.
It's too much.
You do it one time if it was like a close call just because it's hilarious, especially if they choose your team. Like if they end up picking your team, you're like, ha, all you suckers thought. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. It just don't make them so extra. There's no need for all that.
There's not. All right, 865-546-8200. Let's go to Buckeye Guy. What's up, Buckeye Guy?
Hey, guys, not much. Just sitting here enjoying the evening weather that we have and listening to you all.
Appreciate that.
But, yes, sir, of course. But a couple of things that I just wanted to mention. Obviously, had a call in and talk about the Ohio State versus Utah game. One, our defense sucked last year.
I 100% agree. It's terrible.
Sorry?
It was terrible defense, dude.
And yeah. Just to preface this, Stackhouse is an Ohio State guy.
Massive Buckeye fan.
So why is he?
My dad's from Cleveland, so
yeah.
I'm a Browns fan, Cavaliers guy, Indians guy. I stayed true to the land.
What do you got, Buckeye guy?
point is that, you know, you all were talking a little bit about the game, saying, you know, oh, well, Utah, you know, they had a chance to win, quarterback didn't go out and everything. Which, by the way, Utah, in my opinion, I do believe that they are a very, very good team. I say a very good team. They're top tier in the Pac-12. If you look at that game, Ohio State had 19 players set out, 7 Banks, Cody Simon, our two top receivers sitting out, and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave as well. So just making the point with it, the reason we weren't in the playoffs is because our defense again. But with Utah and as far as them coming in against Florida, I think that they will beat Florida simply because I know the Pac-12 gets a lot of crap thrown on them because every year it seems like there is a school like a UT Chattanooga, Eastern Kentucky University, Austin Peay, somebody goes in and beats a Pac-12 school and multiple times a year. So I think the Pac-12 takes a lot of heat, but I do think Utah is a pretty good team. And so I think they will beat Florida and agree with you all on that because they are top tier and Florida is just, well, frankly, they're just really not that good. But
they're a dumpster fire right now, man.
Yeah.
Sorry?
They're just a dumpster fire right now. When you've got a coach that's writing an open letter to the fans in a very Butch Jonesy tone, and you've not even played or coached a game, I mean, you might have some really big issues on your hands.
Yeah, in my opinion, and I wish the guy well, obviously. I don't wish bad on anyone. But in my opinion, I really don't think – I agree with you. After I saw that, I'm like, dude, this guy's not going to be there long. He's obviously not cut out for a job like Florida. And if you go to Florida, Tebow was there. They had all the guys there. They had a lot of winning. If you are not on the tier, at least of Miami, Florida, of course, Florida State, which Florida State obviously has been a dumpster fire as well. The Florida teams right now just aren't that good, with Miami being the best one.
Right.
And it's just not going to look good for them. I wish the guy well. I just don't think he'll be there long. I don't think he's cut out for a Division I job of that caliber, as in a Power 5. But again, I just wanted to throw my couple cents in there about the Rose Bowl game. Simply, I don't want to try to say put an asterisk beside it, you know, even though we still won the game. But just saying, we did have 19 players sit out with our, you know, two first-round draft picks and at wide receiver. Even though Smith and Jigba is going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate for this year for sure, and then obviously our wide receiver room is absolutely ridiculous with Hartline in there. But again, just wanted to put my two cents in on that Roseville game, and then also say that about Florida, basically about how they suck.
So, we'll take that anytime.
We love that.
We appreciate that. Good call from Buckeye guy.
Yeah.
So he made a really good point, and of course, we never take this into consideration because growing up, we never had to. But Nick Saban, you know, he's right about, you know, how the college football playoff has devalued the other bowl games, and that's why you see all these guys sitting out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they didn't even think twice about sitting out that game in there.
I mean, unless you're playing for national championship, if you're those guys, what's the point in playing?
What was it? Joey or Nick Bosa sat out the whole season after he got hurt in that TCU game.
He did.
He was like, "I'm a first round draft pick, dog. Like top two, so I'm good."
Yeah, he's like,
"Have fun." So,
but I mean, how much do we expand the college football playoff?
At least 8.
Another 4.
That's what I'm saying. At least 8 teams.
But then you're still devaluing the other bowl games.
Well,
do they mean that much?
I'm sorry, but did anyone really value any other bowl game that wasn't the top like 8? I'm sorry, I never valued the Music
Not
City
anymore.
Bowl. I never valued the Music City Bowl.
I'm tired of going to those.
Those are the gimme bowls, man. There's so many.
Unless
that's
you're going to the Sugar
money.
Bowl, Rose Bowl.
Well, I mean, you think back, you know, Stack, when we were in elementary, middle school, even high school. Brett, as you were growing up, Davis, you're probably old enough to remember. January 1st, every bowl game possible was played. I miss that so much.
I don't know.
And I know that we're never going back to that.
I like that. I like those championship games. On
they January still 1st. Do it, but it doesn't have the same feel because there's too many bowl games.
Yeah. And not to mention, it's like, you know, people.
I still watch
people hate on the BCS, but the BCS was, I mean, it was fun.
It was.
Well, now they're about to put the Sugar Bowl, I think, at noon.
Ew.
That is.
Oh, on January 1st.
That is criminal.
Oh, are they going to do?
Which will be 11 a.m. down there.
I thought it was this year, too. Wasn't there two games on January 1st this year?
I can't remember. I just know the Sugar Bowl changed their.
I thought the Rose Bowl was on January 1st this year.
There needs to be at least.
Well, isn't it always on January 1st?
That's what I think.
Always.
Yeah.
Unless it was the BCS championship site.
But I'm pretty sure Sugar Bowl definitely. It was, what, like a Monday night kick at like 8 p.m.
So I don't.
And you made your day around that.
Yeah. Dude, I mean,
it was the only game that day.
Yeah. It was as big as like a Super Bowl party.
So, like,
I don't.
This is going to be a hot take. And not a lot of people are going to agree with it. You expand it to 32 teams. Hear me out. You don't have the month-long break. As soon as conference championships are over or the Army-Navy game is over, you start playing.
Dude, treat it like a bye week or a...
Wait, did you say like 64 teams?
No, 32.
Oh, God.
Do you shorten the regular season?
Maybe by a game. So
well,
what?
You kind of do because a lot of teams don't play conference championships.
That's true.
Well, I didn't.
There's only two extra. There's only two teams.
Didn't
that play
they
in
all
the conference
start
championship.
Now? Isn't SEC's got one? Big Ten's got one. Pac-12's got one now. Or do they get
ACC does?
ACC does, and then I think the Big 12 has one.
Big
too
12
now.
Does not just, anymore.
You just go no, Power 5 that way.
What's that?
You just go Power 5.
You take, and this is going to be the argument, you know, because we saw it with Coastal Carolina. You're going to see it with Conference USA eventually. The American Athletic Conference. You went do it like college basketball. You win, you're in.
Yeah.
And then it's at large bids from there.
That's why every conference championship team would be super interesting. Like Power Five, you get them in.
Even the Group of Five.
Yeah, and even the Group of Five. So you have 10 teams there, and then you can do
an NIT style.
Yeah.
For your other ranked teams.
You could
not ranked
and make
teams,
those bowl games like that. Teams. Yep. Ooh, that would be kind of interesting to have like a sub, but I don't know if teams would do that because that's a lot of extra football. You got to think about when you fit that in.
So you got 32, 16, 8,
because you can't.
4, 2. So that's 5 extra games. And you got the guy from North Carolina last year that said, well, we don't want to play, you know, 17.
That's an NFL schedule.
That's what he said. He was like, I don't want to play 16, 17 games the regular season. It's like, okay, you don't want to play in the NFL? Guess what? Between preseason and postseason, if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, you're playing upwards of, what, 24 games?
Yeah.
I want to throw this in. It's random.
Yeah.
But according to TMZ, Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell are in talks on potentially having a boxing match.
Oh, no, they already signed the contracts today.
According to TMZ, next month. Who are you taking in that boxing match?
Oh, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, dude. He beats his kid.
Beats skin.
Back to the
sticks. Okay. He had sticks.
Back to the college football playoff conversation. Sorry. We ain't gonna go down that rabbit hole.
I know. Right. Sorry.
But it's 5 extra games, so you'd be playing a max of 16, 17 games per season.
I'd take away a couple games in the regular season.
I don't hate that though. If you're potentially you're playing 16, if you win the whole thing,
yeah,
that's only if you win the whole thing. So like for most of those teams, you're playing what? Maybe one or two.
14,
games. Yeah.
15 14, games?
Yeah.
It makes the postseason a lot more interesting in college football again. Because, I mean, like you said, you really only wait for the 4 games.
When everyone always complains, oh, well, it's always the same
4.
You know, 4 or 5 teams that are in the conversation. It's like, how do you break that up? This is how you break it up.
Make them play more consistent in the end. In the
exactly.
Postseason where everybody's playing their hardest.
And you're not going to have all these teams that are like, oh, we deserve to be in over Notre Dame. It's like, okay. Let's end the Notre Dame argument right now.
So many teams deserve
more
than Notre
ever
Dame.
Since the BCS has started, any time Notre Dame has been in a BCS game or a college football playoff, what has happened?
Blown out.
Thrashed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's Brady Quinn.
So let's not even let them get to the Final Four of the championship game. Let's get them eliminated in the round of 32 or the round of 16.
32 is wildly excessive, but I'd go with 16.
And you got to think these guys aren't in class, so you could have a midweek game.
I'd go with 16 solidly and just make them like all those bowl games, like go from some smaller, bowl games and just build it up, make them all kind of – because, I mean, they'd all get a place, and
in the end rankings, I guess that'd be a lot. That'd be a good way to end the top 25 too.
So here's how I would do it: you do it regional style, like they do with basketball.
Yeah.
Do the round of 32, the round of 16, in one site. Do that on a Saturday and a Wednesday, or a Saturday and a Tuesday, right?
Is the round of 32 just the college, the conference championships?
No, round of 32 starts the big shebang.
It's too many teams.
It would work.
No, because so many teams would get murdered.
Not necessarily.
So many teams.
You'd have good matchups, though.
Dude, there'd be the one versus what you'd have that, a 15 16
versus,
seed.
That'd you'd be have a 16 horrible. Versus 17. That would be a great game.
No, wait, what?
What?
No, you no. Ain't no way. College football is not basketball.
It would work.
There's not no. There's no way a one seed gets beat by a 16 ever in football. There's,
one by 32. I mean, it basically happened with Alabama and Texas A&M. What if Texas A&M locks into that 32 spot, or another team like that upsets Bama?
That no, because they're a Power Five team. There's no way they get ranked that low. There'd be some like group of five team that like that's the only problem with like the 32 field is that all those bottom.
Well, that's the price.
Teams would be just group of fives, and that'd just be pointless for them to even play. They'd just get embarrassed. But also, they'd get a lot of money and promotion.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the reward of playing good football, though, is you get an easy matchup in the first round. That's going to do it for us. I want to continue this conversation tomorrow because I think we got something going here.
I'm okay with that.
And I got a project to do tonight. I'm going to map this out for everybody. I'm going to waste my entire evening working on
board.
This.
Get that poster board. Bring it in, dude.
Oh, I'm going to bring in the dry erase board tomorrow.
Yes,
we're
brother. Yes.
All righty. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Davis. Something else coming up next. Be sure to join us tomorrow from 7 to 10 for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.